Hello, this is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal for Wednesday, February 3rd. First article, Douglas County Board appoints Chana Ray to EMA Director position. By Kendra Hennis. The monthly meeting of the Douglas County Board was called to order at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, January 20th, with all members present. During the consent agenda, the board approved the official appointment of Chana Ray to Douglas County EMA Director for a period until December 21, 2024. Douglas County Board Chairman Don Munson said that following their search, they determined Ray was the best to serve the position. Following in committee reports, the board introduced the new Douglas County case manager, Josh Staler. Staler said that he is now the primary contact for Douglas County and that he was excited for the challenge and looked forward to building the community. He reported that he is currently working with school superintendents for programs in the schools and will soon have a schedule in place for people in the community to come into the office for resources. Douglas County Health Department Administrator Amanda Miner then gave her report to the board. She said that currently 350 COVID-19 vaccines have been administered in Douglas County, with phase 1A of vaccination having gone well. She said that they were now moving to phase 1B of administration and asked for the public's patience as the health department and Douglas County are currently only receiving a limited supply. She noted that phase 1B was a very large group and that they currently had 450 vaccines and were set to receive 300 more. Miner also noted that there were vaccine clinics being planned for residents 65 and over. Miner said that the health department was currently using an online registration for the vaccine clinic that is available on the health department's website and Facebook page. She reported that people had to be registered online and receive an appointment so the site was not overwhelmed. Miner again asked for patience, saying that everyone who wants will eventually be able to receive the vaccine. She said that the state of Illinois is also currently working with pharmacies and private practices to hopefully assist with distribution. Miner then said that the health department has received calls from people who received bills from their insurance for their vaccine. She said they are working to fix the issue and to call the health department if you need assistance. Miner noted that the health department is still completing testing at the site in the outlets of Tuscola from 8:30 to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursdays and 8:30 to 12 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. The board also approved the December 1st special board meeting and December 16th regular board meeting minutes. Approved the payments of the county's financial obligations. Approved the reports of fees of county offices. Approved the reappointment of Judy Pollock to be the Douglas County Insurance Administrative Liaison until January 22nd. Approved a recommendation from the Personnel, Legal, and Management Subcommittee for a $2,000 stipend for the Douglas County Treasurer's Office for payment and reconciliation to be divided at the Treasurer's discretion for payroll and deducted benefit. Approved Resolution 21R1 setting the per diem rate of 56 cents for Douglas County employee mileage reimbursement for the year 2021. Approved Resolution 21R2, an extension of a declaration of emergency due to COVID-19 in Douglas County. Approved Resolution 21R3, adopting an emergency operations plan for fiscal year 2021 for Douglas County. Douglas County EMA Director Chana Ray explained that this is a plan for all the offices in the county in case there is a disaster or emergency. Approved Resolution 21R4, approving improvement under the Illinois Highway Code Section 13-00104-00-BR, using $282,000 from motor fuel tax funds. Approved Resolution 21R5, appropriating $349,000 in motor fuel tax funds, Section 21-00000-00-GM. Approved the appointment of Kevin D. Nolan to public defender. Adjourned until the February 19, 2021 board meeting at 9 a.m. Next article. IDPH announced Region 6 moves to Phase 4 resurgence mitigations. IDPH urges people to continue wearing masks, avoid large gatherings, and get vaccinated when eligible. The Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, today announced Region 6, Champaign, Clark, Clay, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Effingham, Fayette, Ford, Iroquois, Jasper, Lawrence, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Richland, Shelby, and Vermilion counties is returning to Phase 4 of the Restore Plan, and Region 7, Kankakee and Will counties, is advancing to Tier 1. Information about which tier and phase regions are in can be found at the top of the IDPH website homepage. I am excited that 10 out of our 11 regions have moved out of Tier 3 mitigations, said IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike. However, this does not mean we can let our guard down. We must continue to practice actions to protect ourselves from the virus, wear our masks, avoid large gatherings, and get the vaccine when it is our turn. This is particularly critical as new variants circulate, which early studies show spread much more rapidly. We are headed in the right direction once again, so let's stay the course. IDPH will continue to closely monitor test positivity, ICU bed availability, and the number of people in the hospital with COVID-19. Should data show regions trending in the wrong direction, based on the established mitigation metrics, regions could once again find themselves in a higher tier with increased measures. Metrics for moving from a higher to lower tier are as follows. Moving from Tier 3 to Tier 2. Test positivity rate below or equal to 8% and below 12% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and staffed ICU bed availability less than or equal to 20% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and sustained decline in COVID patients in hospital, 7-day average for 7 of 10 days. Moving from Tier 2 to Tier 1, test positivity rate between 6.5% and 8% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and staffed ICU bed availability less than or equal to 20% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and no sustained increase in COVID patients in hospital, 7-day average for 7 out of 10 days. Moving from Tier 1 to Phase 4. Test positivity rate less than or equal to 6.5% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and staffed ICU bed availability less than or equal to 20% for 3 consecutive days, 7-day average, and no sustained increase in COVID patients in hospital, 7-day average for 7 of 10 days. Guidelines for each industry as part of Phase 4 of the Restore Illinois Plan are as follows. All industries, all employees who can work from home should continue to do so. Continue to wear face covering that covers nose and mouth, maintain social distance of 6 feet, and frequently wash hands. Continue employee health screenings upon entry into the workplace and mid-shift screenings for employees with shifts greater than 5 hours, virtual screening permitted. Follow guidelines on capacity limits and group sizes to be continually reassessed through Phase 4. Restaurants and bars. Indoor dining and drinking now permitted for parties up to 10 people. Seated areas should be arranged so that tables allow for 6 feet between parties, Impermeable barriers may be installed between booths which are less than 6 feet apart. Standing areas in restaurants or bars should be limited to no more than 25% of standing area capacity. Buffets and self-service food stations, for example, hot and cold bars, bulk items, baked goods, should adhere to additional minimum guidelines. Self-service beverage fountains are permissible with the additional precautions. Youth and recreational sports. Competitive gameplay and tournaments permitted for moderate and lower risk sports, intra-team scrimmages for higher risk sports. Limit of 50 spectators for event. Sporting venues may host multiple groups of participants engaged in active exercise or gameplay, provided the venue has space to appropriately social distance and can limit interaction between groups. Concessions permitted with restrictions. Meetings and social events. Limited to lesser than 50 people or 50% of room capacity. Multiple groups may meet in the same facility if they are socially distanced and in separate rooms. Groups should be static for duration of meeting sessions, participants should remain in one room, and speakers-presenters should rotate between rooms or be digitally displayed, for example, projected or live-streamed, in multiple rooms. Dance floors should remain closed. Food service should follow restaurant and bar guidelines. Manufacturing. Employees must receive COVID training before returning to work. All employees should have a wellness screening program. Employers should conduct in-person COVID-19 screening of employees upon entry and a mid-shift screening if employee shift is greater than 5 hours. Stagger and space shifts and designate shift entrances and exits when possible to minimize interactions of employees across unique shift groupings. Workstations should be disinfected between every shift and in between employee handoffs. In-person meetings of up to 50 people with social distancing permitted. Indoor-outdoor recreation. Reopening select indoor recreation facilities, for example, bowling alleys, skating rinks, indoor playgrounds, and trampoline parks should remain closed. Indoor recreation to operate at lesser of 50 customers or 50% of facility capacity. Outdoor recreation allowing group sizes of up to 50 and permitting multiple groups given facilities have space, appropriately social distance can limit interaction between groups. Activity stations should be spaced at least 6 feet apart or limited in number to ensure social. Shared equipment should be disinfected before and after each use. Clubhouses and other communal gathering places allowed to reopen. Concessions permitted with restrictions. Offices. Continue capacity limit of no more than 50% capacity. In-person meetings of up to 50 people with social distancing permitted. Continue health screenings, though employers may screen office employees via in-person conversation or through questionnaire once at their workstation or using virtual methods. Retail and service counter. Continue capacity limit of no more than 50% capacity. Mall food courts may reopen in line with indoor dining and drinking guidelines. Personal care. Continue capacity limit of no more than 50% capacity. If services require a customer to remove his or her mask, employee must wear both a face mask and eye protection, for example, face shield or protective glasses. No time restrictions on massage or other services. Health and fitness. Capacity limit of no more than 50% occupancy. Group fitness classes of up to 50 people with at least 6 feet social distancing between individuals is permitted. Multiple groups permitted given facilities have space to appropriately social distance and can limit interaction between groups. Workout stations and equipment should be found 6 feet apart without barriers or 3 feet apart with impermeable barriers. For open gym spaces, have one employee per every 4,000 square feet to monitor social distancing and to sanitize equipment between use. Sanitize equipment before and after each individual use and sanitize locker rooms and showers at least every hour. Keep ancillary accommodations, for example, saunas, hot tubs, and steam rooms, closed, though childcare areas are permitted to reopen in line with DHFS childcare guidelines. Museums, capacity limit of no more than 25% capacity. Guided tours should be limited with 50 or fewer people per group. Audio tours are permitted, though equipment should be disinfected before and after individual use. Museums should have a plan to limit congregation via advanced ticket sales and timed ticketing. Concessions permitted with restrictions. Theaters and performing arts. Seated theaters, cinemas, and performing arts centers for ticketed events with seating available for all customers permitted. General admission shows and/or events with standing room only are not permitted at this time. Indoor capacity limit of 50 or less or 50% of space capacity applies to each screening room. Outdoor capacity limited to 20% of overall space capacity. Patrons should wear face coverings over their nose and mouth, except while seated within a venue. Exceptions can be made for people with medical conditions or disabilities that prevent them from safely wearing a face covering. And concessions permitted with restrictions. Outdoor seated spectator events. Outdoor spectator events only. Indoor spectator events not permitted at this time. Tickets with seating available for all customers is permitted. General admission shows and/or events with standing room only are not permitted at this time. Maximum of 20% of seating capacity for spectators. Concessions permitted with restrictions. Zoos. Capacity limit of no more than 25% capacity. Guided tours should be limited to 50 or fewer people per group. Indoor exhibits are limited to the lesser of 50 people or 50% of the building capacity. Audio tours are permitted, though equipment should be disinfected before and after individual use. Zoos should have a plan to limit congregation via advanced ticket sales and timed ticketing. Concessions are permitted with restrictions. Next, we have the obituaries. James P. Carr. James Patrick Pat Carr, 90, of Villa Grove, passed away at 10:27 a.m., surrounded by his family at Arbor Rose Memory Care in Monticello on Monday, January 18th. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to the Pat Carr Scholarship Fund, Villa Grove State Bank, Box 50, Villa Grove, 61956, or to Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Villa Grove. Private family services will be held at Sacred Heart Catholic Church with the Reverend Aloysius Ndayaneifo and the Reverend Joel Phelps. Family burial will be in Hugo Cemetery. Laura K. Coyle. Laura K. Coyle, 51, of Tuscola, passed away at 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 19th at the Arthur Home in Arthur, following a courageous fight with Huntington's disease. Celebration of life services were held at 2 p.m. Monday, January 25th at the First Baptist Church in Tuscola with Pastor Mike Wilder officiating. Burial followed in the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Visitation was held 1 hour prior to the services at the church. Memorials are suggested to the Huntington's Disease Society of America, 505 8th Avenue, Suite 902, New York, New York, 10018. Jeanette M. Lindsay. Jeanette M. Lindsay, 74, of Denver, Colorado, passed away January 14th at the Denver Hospice due to cancer complications. It is requested that any donations be sent to the American Cancer Society or to the Grand Forks, North Dakota Veterans Memorial. Zindel Decker. Zindel Decker, 58, of Arcola, passed away at 12:20 p.m. on Wednesday, January 20th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Private services will be held at a later date. McCoy T. Roberts. McCoy Thomas Roberts, infant son of Craig and Jessica Laley Roberts, passed away Saturday, January 16th at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago. Private family services will be held. Memorial contributions are suggested to St. Jude Monticello Team, 4722 North Sheridan Road, Peoria, 61614, and Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola, is assisting the family with arrangements. Colleen L. Sass. Colleen Louise Fade Bunker Sass of Atwood was born in 1951 in Chicago and passed away on Saturday, January 23rd at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held at 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, January 27th at the Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home in Atwood. Burial followed in the Mackville Cemetery in Atwood. Visitation was held from 12 p.m. until the time of the service on Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials are suggested to St. Jude's Children Research Hospital, P.O. Box 1000, Department 142, Memphis, Tennessee, 38148-0142. Mary M. Piercy. Mary M. Piercy, 87, of Villa Grove, passed away at 2:15 p.m. on January 19th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A graveside service was held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, January 24th at the Villa Grove Cemetery with Pastor Jerry Connor officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Villa Grove School or to the Villa Grove United Pentecostal Church. Robert D. Jolly. Robert D. Jolly, 97, of Tuscola, passed away at 8:50 p.m. Wednesday, January 20th at his residence. Graveside services with military rites accorded will be held at the Tuscola Township Cemetery with Reverend Joseph Carter officiating. Memorials are suggested to the VFW or American Legion posts. Hillegoss Schrader Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Edna M. Schrock. Edna May Gingrich Schrock, 67 years, 7 months, and 3 days, of Arthur, passed away at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, January 20th at her residence. Funeral services were held at 9 a.m. on Sunday, January 24th at the Otto Center south of Arthur. Bishop Larry R. Diener officiated. Burial was in the Otto Cemetery. Visitation was held after 2 p.m. on Friday, January 22nd at the Auto Center and any time after 10 p.m. on Saturday, January 23rd, also at the Auto Center. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Next article, Moultrie County begins scheduling Phase 1B COVID-19 vaccination. All vaccines will be provided by appointment. Individuals age 65 and older and others identified in the Phase 1B category may schedule an appointment by calling the Moultrie County Health Department at 217-728-4114. Proof of residency and age, driver's license, or Phase 1B employment status in Moultrie County will be required at the time of vaccination. Next article. Horizon Health honors its nurse anesthetists during CRNA Week. Horizon Health recognizes the quality work of its certified registered nurse anesthetists, CRNAs, during the 21st annual National CRNA Week, January 24th to 30th. At Horizon Health, 5 CRNAs provide anesthesia services to surgical patients. They are Lovey Cotton, APRN-CRNA, Aaron Hine, APRN-CRNA, Kenneth Grigsby, APRN-CRNA-DMP, Adam APRN-CRNA-NSPMC-DNP, and Scott Williamson, APRN-CRNA-Manager of Anesthesia Services. The team also runs Horizon Health's Pain Management Clinic, where they use many different approaches, ranging from ultrasound to physical therapy to manage pain. Next article. Clinical social worker Lisa Brinkerhoff returns to senior care in Paris. Lisa Brinkerhoff, licensed clinical social worker, has returned to Paris to do what she enjoys most, helping seniors cope with life's challenges. "I'm very happy to be back," she said. "I love Paris. I'm a rural country girl at heart." Upon returning to Paris, Lisa was reunited with senior care staff, including Connie Rhodes, licensed clinical social worker and senior care manager. Together, they provide individual, group, and family counseling for older adults who are experiencing a variety of behavioral health conditions. Lisa has 25 years of experience as a social worker. She earned a master's degree in social work from the University of Illinois in Champaign. Lisa was born in Paris. She has twin sons, Justin and Chris, and four grandchildren. Next article, how to contact Senator Darren Bailey's office. As he begins his first term in the Illinois Senate, State Senator Darren Bailey, R. Louisville, is reminding constituents how to contact his office with questions or issues. Senator Bailey's office at 152 South Church Street, Louisville, 62858, is still serving as his primary district office. The phone number there is 618-665-4109. He is also opening a new district office at 88 Broadway, Suite 1, Mattoon, 61938. This office can be reached by phone at 217-234-6139. Senator Bailey's new Capitol office address is M103C Capitol, Springfield, 62706, and his phone number in Springfield is 217-782-6674. Next article, Eastern Illinois University spring enrollment numbers jump 13%. After reporting a 9% total increase in spring-to-spring enrollment in the two-year span from 2018 to 2020, Eastern Illinois University's spring-to-spring enrollment has once again jumped from 2020 to 2021. What the data tells us is that EIU is doing a phenomenal job recruiting and retaining students from semester to semester and from year to year, especially considering the unique circumstances our students are facing this year, said Josh Norman, EIU's Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management. EIU's focus is on early engagement and outcomes, and our spring 2021 numbers indicate clearly that we are fulfilling our mission of engaging students early and preparing them to be responsible citizens and leaders in a competitive, interconnected world. EIU's spring increase adds to a significant multi-year upward trajectory despite the unique and ongoing circumstances the pandemic has presented. Norman said EIU's growing enrollment speaks to EIU's quality, responsiveness, and resourcefulness in meeting the dynamic needs of its students, even in challenging times. For example, EIU quickly responded to emerging student needs in fall 2020 by launching a new communications, creating additional feedback channels, and allocating additional funding to support student success initiatives across campus. And that's it for this week's Tri-County Journal. This has been Nicolene Ambrose reading to you. I've enjoyed reading to you, and I hope you listen with us again soon.